There is an outdated definition of deep space that goes something like this. And I've actually liked it since I was in high school and first learned it. You are in deep space when you are finally far enough away that you can always be seen by at least one of three communication centers here on Earth. One in California, one in Spain, and one in Australia. And I've always really liked that because it's this concept, you have to go far enough away to be able to be seen. So, something that should have been on Wikipedia, 34 years ago today, Voyager 2, which weighs less than half of my Toyota Camry and looks like it was made of things you could have found in my basement, was shot off into space. It is an unmanned space vehicle that was part of this grand tour, part of like Carl Sagan's and some of his colleagues' movement in the 60s and 70s, that we wanted to go farther than we ever have before, the goal to be outside of our solar system, and finally reach there with this unmanned device. So it launches 34 years ago today, 1977, and it is 9 billion miles away right now. And it's not the only one. Voyager is part of... There's an entire unit of Voyager. Like, you know, the Apollos, there was a Voyager as well. So it shoots off in 1977. 2 years later, it passes by Jupiter, close enough the first time. So we first found out that big red spot on Jupiter is actually a 200-year-old storm happening. And the Voyager 2 was the first to use photographs and find that there was volcanic activity on one of the moons by Jupiter. We'd never known that there was volcanic activity anywhere else in the universe until that went through. 2 years after that, it went by Saturn. One day after I was born, Voyager 2 got closer to Uranus than we ever had before and found a slew of moons we never knew existed. So we were still 50,000 miles away from Uranus, but we were finally able to see these moons. So part of the Voyager movement is on all of the Voyager spacecraft, they put this golden album, like 1970s when we sent this. It's literally a gold-plated album, and it has greetings in 60 different languages. It has then-President Jimmy Carter giving an address. It has sounds of whales and babies crying. And yes, the point was someday this may be found by some other life form, and this will be our introduction to them. It even includes a pictorial description of how you would play this record. And it gives information. This was supposed to be our telegraph out into the world. And so because all of the Voyagers have this, Voyager 1 also does. Voyager 2 got sent 34 years ago today, 1977. Voyager 1, strangely enough, got sent a couple months later, in September of that year. Voyager 1 right now is the farthest... This I just found out today. Is the farthest man-made piece of machinery away from Earth ever. In the 1980s, it passed that. Passed anything that had ever gone before. Just in 2004, it got to the end of the solar system. And so the definition of getting to the end of the solar system was it just passed where solar winds existed. So like winds from our sun had extended beyond, and always the kind of de facto definition was when those winds stop moving, that's the end of the solar system. And so in 2004, they did all these twists and turns with Voyager 1, and the winds weren't being oriented. So I say this more out of just sheer amazement, right? How far we've gone. And I think also about this getting sent in 1977. So Voyager 2, a little research today taught me, Voyager 2 sends data right now at 160 bits per second. My laptop on Comcast wireless speed does download rates of like 5 megabytes, so like 30 or 40 times faster than what the most advanced space age technology ever in the history of mankind was in the 1970s. So I'm left with a few questions that I don't have answers to. One, I'm absolutely amazed by what was capable of, what we were capable of in 1977, that we said we're going to send something beyond the solar system, and we did it. And it makes me think, what could we do today if with my laptop I have more data transmission speed than we did in space-age technology? I think about the end of the shuttle program and NASA reconfiguring its data portions, and who will someday be the GPS monitor for these road trips, these intergalactic road trips? Because I should echo that those three stations I alluded to earlier are still controlling these ships. They'll reorient them from time to time. They'll put out a press release, hey, today we reoriented Voyager 2. We reoriented, like, 9 billion miles away, Voyager 2, and we'll make it have a left turn there at Saturn. So, the third big question that I was left thinking about a lot was this idea of why space travel and exploration matters. Because my father, in his beauty of an ounce of libertarianism in him, is always, let's cut post office, get it out of there. Let's cut the space program, get it out of there. I don't care. And I've always grappled with that. Why does it matter? And a couple of thoughts come to my mind as I was going looking at Voyager, see things that we never thought we'd ever be able to see. And I pictured actually something else I've always really loved. Aldous Huxley's, that novelist who did A Brave New World, who I'm sure we all were forced to read when we were in high school, and actually is really good. He said something that I really liked, and I'll try not to ruin it. He said, maybe our world is another planet's hell. Which I always really like, because he made this perspective that was meant to be bigger, right? Farther away, that we can't just see it in our own environment, we have to see it in a bigger way. And I think I'm left with thinking that that's exactly what the space program is in a lot of ways should be about. Being able to see beyond. Like, picture that photograph that we probably also have seen, that image of a hunter in the 20th century in the American West standing on top of bison skulls. And you've seen this photo in probably history books. It's hundreds of bison skulls top, and he's standing it, proud as can be that his hunting party had killed all these bison. Now, there were 65 million bison, we think, like in the early part of the 20th century, and there's a few hundred thousand today, and most of them are in farms that are farmed for bison meat. And that hunter didn't say, I want to hunt bison to near extinction. He believed that the world was so big and so endless that he could never have any impact. What is a few hundred bison? This is nothing. Look at them out there. I could never do anything. So I think the space program is about us trying to do a better job of making sure we don't overhunt bison again in a new way. But the hard part is, to be able to do that, we need to get far enough that we can actually see.